Today's show brought to you in part by the first Grand Three Pick'em. What is this? Well, it's a free contest where you have an opportunity to win up to $5 million by correctly picking the top four finishers, aka the Superfecta, in exact order from three huge dirt races put on by first. The Preakness, coming up obviously in just a week and a half. The California Crown, that's the renamed Goodwood Stakes, that's in the fall. And the Pegasus World Cup. There's other prizes as well. You're going to want to check this out. And if you're a horse owner, there are bonuses that you want to look at indeed as well. For the same three races on the dirt side, a $5 million bonus there. And if you win the dinner party stakes on the Preakness Undercard, the John Henry Turf, and the Pegasus World Cup Turf, that's a $2.5 million bonus. So there is a whole lot going on. Remember, the first Grand Three Pick'em Challenge is absolutely free. Get involved today. You can find the info on Preakness.com or simply go to InTheMoneyPodcast.com/grand. Welcome to the In the Money Players Podcast. This is our show for Tuesday, May 7th. This is our Kentucky Derby and Oaks recap show. PTF back with you in the Brooklyn bunker and here with a man who's coming to us from New York City. We need a name for this mobile studio in New York City, but he's back from the Derby. I think he got as bludgeoned as I did with the wagering. He's Jonathan Kinchin. What's up, JK?
I'm just excited. This is the first audio podcast we've done in a long time, and I don't have to put any pants on. This is great.
TMI. This is a little different than other Derby shows we've done because we do have a video component and it has visuals. It has a really cool slideshow that JK put together. So to get, obviously we're going to recap the Derby a little bit here, but if you want to get the most of all we have to say, I think we did about 15 minutes over on YouTube. We've told people they get upset that the YouTube stuff doesn't always show up on the podcast side, but it's a solved problem, folks. Just go ahead and subscribe to that YouTube channel and click the notification bell. You won't miss any of the YouTube exclusive stuff. But we started getting into a really interesting conversation, I thought, that we didn't really have time to fully flesh out about this year's Derby. And it came down to the question of who was best in the race. Mystic Dan, obviously your winner. Horse seemingly ran back to his best races and got the job done. But it was not without controversy, but it's also not like he didn't work really hard. He was the only horse who was there early on in the Derby, in the fast pace, red fractions on Timeform US, who was there at the end. We just talked about this on the video, JK, but I mean, are you comfortable saying you don't think Mystic Dan was best? Maybe that's the way to start this conversation.
No. I mean, look, I'm comfortable saying anything for the most part. It's part of our gig with having opinions and radio and TV and all that stuff. So I've got no problem, you know, just standing on something and being wrong. But I wouldn't tell anyone they were stupid for saying Mystic Dan ran the best race. He was close to a pace that was quick, and everyone else went out the back. And horses that I thought were better than him went out the back. So you got to like him there. So I wouldn't have a problem with that. I just think, but I also feel like the other two have an argument for them running the best race too, Forever Young and Sierra Leone. So I just ultimately landed on Sierra Leone narrowly, with Forever Young being second narrowly, with Mystic Dan being third narrowly.
I'll pick up the thread with Forever Young because I think this is a really interesting conversation too. Normally, I think a lot of horse players overrate bad starts in collapse pace type races. Sometimes it actually will help a horse to not be up there in the fray and be able to settle and make a run. I think that might be an exception with a horse like Forever Young because, you know, we talked all about the kickback and the issues, you know, potentially scything through the field. You know, he definitely, Jockey Sakai did a great job. It's not like he was buried and dealing with like some tremendous amount of kickback, but he obviously fought through it. He got into position. But then I think, you know, the real reason I would nominate him as the best is that he got absolutely mugged in the stretch by Sierra Leone. I mean, and it's not, we talked about this on the other show too. I'm not saying this was not riding tactics by Tyler. The horse lugs, he lugs every time. And Tyler was, you know, if you wanted to make a levy a criticism of him, maybe he wasn't as prepared for it as he might have been, but maybe it was just a 1,000-pound animal and they're going to do what they're going to do at some point. Anyway, they end up coming over, bumping Forever Young, making contact several times to the point where, and we won't relitigate this because it's in the video, but Tyler's physical hand and whip get, they make contact with Forever Young. My understanding, that's supposed to be an automatic DQ. And then you also had the bumping, which probably warranted a DQ, especially in a finish that was so tight. So I guess my point is, with a clean run through, with any kind of non-interference, Forever Young wins the race. Does that make him better than Mystic Dan, given the pace dynamics? That's one we can debate. But I feel confident saying he should have won the race, Forever Young. I feel extremely confident saying he should have been put up for second. I'll let you sort of quickly, because you talk about it in the other video, talk about why you think Sierra Leone was best, and then we'll get into some of these other runners.
Yeah, I mean, look, he got checked at the top coming off the turn, and he was wider than Forever Young, while Mystic Dan got a dream run. So I ultimately said Sierra Leone was best in the race. But like I said, I don't have a problem with anyone saying, well, Forever Young was best. He was far back and he was wide and he was getting harassed by Sierra Leone. Okay, cool. I got you. And then the same can be said about Mystic Dan being close. It's very close to me. Very, very close.
Reasonable minds can disagree about who was best. I'm going to go so far as to say reasonable minds should not disagree that there should have been a disqualification. Are you in my camp, or you think I'm too harsh here?
If you touch another horse with your whip or you touch another horse, it's a problem. I don't think, like I said, I don't think it was intentional.
No, it wasn't intentional.
If they took Sierra Leone down, would I be like appalled? No. Do I think it really mattered? Maybe not. But also I know there's money involved between second and third.
Yeah, that's my concern, is as a horse player. I feel like we can't have one of these big days, JK, without some aspect of racing vomiting on itself. And it made me feel extremely sour, like questioning my life choices bad on Saturday night.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you. I wouldn't be offended.
Reasonable minds, I suppose, can disagree about that too. Maybe I was being too harsh. I don't know. Let us know. Let us know what you think, people. We can get a conversation going in the YouTube comments, or just reach out to us on social media or through the contact page over at inthemoneypodcast.com. I think it's a derby that presents us so many interesting things that we can pick up the threads and talk about. Shall we talk about the elephant in the room? We barely discussed him on the other show. Fierceness, just, yes, he hopped at the start. Yes, the pace was fast, but he went away so tamely, and he was a horse with the kind of numbers he ran, you know, Justify sat off cut very fast fractions and still won the darn thing. I think there's no way I can say anything, JK, other than Fierceness was terrible and leaves me, even though we acknowledge the possibility, the 50% possibility that he would run nowhere, I still feel like he left me with a lot of egg on my face and just, you know, generally embarrassed. What were your thoughts on Fierceness's quote unquote effort in the Kentucky Derby?
No, I'm not embarrassed. It's one of those situations where, you know, this is a game where we're predicting what four-legged animals are going to do on a given day, with lots of different circumstances that are outside of our control. And there's a lot of days where I'm really, really, really right. But with what comes with those days that you're really, really, really right are the days that you're going to be really, really, really wrong. And I've tried not to become too results oriented in my life when it comes to horse racing. I believe in the process. I believe in the information I look at. I believe in the way that I process that information. And when you have a horse that is running the numbers that he is running and has been running, I am going to always, in most situations, fall for that horse if I do not have a more interesting alternative that offers value. The only other horse two horses that I thought could win, and I said it from almost the very beginning, were Forever Young, Sierra Leone, and Just a Touch. And I just didn't see the value when it came to the spread between where those horses were in price compared to Fierceness, who I had all of these strong feelings about. And next year, if there's a horse who ran a 105 in the juvenile and a 110 in the Florida Derby, and there's the next fastest horse is running a 98, I'm going to do the same damn thing again.
I love it. And I think it makes sense. And people, you know, hindsight is just such a funny thing. And I actually blocked somebody in particular who was like crowing about, you know, picking Mystic Dan. And it's like, dude, like, I get it. The horse ran big, but like, he got so lucky. There were two horses that easily could have, easily probably could have and should have won. Plus the fact that you had the complete no-show of the favorite. I mean, anyway, it's pretty funny when people though get so married to these narrative ideas. Like, see, I told you every other race was a good one for Fierceness. Like, I don't buy that at all. I don't think he's going to run some great race next time just because he ran badly today. I mean, maybe, but I think the reality with Fierceness for me, JK, going forward is he's a bully. He's basically like a version of a Morning Glory. You know, it's really not that different than what Michelle said on the Derby draft, in my opinion. We'll have to pull those results and see who's doing what in our going back to our Derby draft. But she said a horse, you know, any adversity or a horse looks him in the eye, he caves. It's hard to disagree with that coming out of the race for me. And he is one, I'm not going to say he's on the perma no bet list, but he's close.
Nah, he'll get it figured out. He's too talented. You know what I mean? He's too talented. He's, you know, he looked a horse in the eyes in the juvenile. You know, a horse that's going to be the favorite for the Preakness, yeah, and ran by him like he was strapped to the quarter pole. So I just think it's circumstantial. I think that, you know, I saw Johnny after the race at Jeff Ruby's, and he was just like, he just wasn't there. He wasn't there. Maybe I should have just let him roll. You know, maybe I should just let him go freaking 45 and change, but he wasn't really there for me.
That's interesting that thought even occurred to him. Like, just because it seemed like he was going plenty fast. It was, to that point in the race, in the video that we showed, it was exactly what I would have wanted. And then it doesn't surprise me at all that's what Johnny said, because it just, that's exactly what it looked like. Let's give some props to some other horses from who ran big races in there. I know you were particularly impressed by Catching Freedom.
No, I wouldn't go impressed. I just thought he ran well. And that's not towards you. I don't want anyone to think I was overly impressed. I thought he ran well. I thought when you look at the blimp view, you know, he was one that caught the eye that was really finishing, which makes me feel like it's weird because he's a closer kind of, but maybe he's going to appreciate a cutback. Maybe he's going to appreciate, you know, going a little bit of a shorter distance. You know, maybe he's going to love maybe he's going to be the type of horse that runs in the Belmont, because why not? You got to give it a shot. And then ends up in a weird race. I know it sounds crazy, but like the Alan Jerkins, where, you know, he's going to be in there and he's going to be rolling late with 45 fractions to close into. He feels like a horse that might appreciate a cutback.
I want to mention T.O. Password quickly, just because, you know, certainly outran odds and expectations. I was definitely much more sympathetic to him after seeing how the seemingly overmatched T.O. Saint-Denis ran on the Friday. I was open to the idea of leaving him in underneath at that point. He ends up running fifth with a little bit of trouble, another horse that be interesting to see. I mean, I was sort of wishing the Japanese horses stayed, if not for the Preakness, to come back running in the Belmont, but it doesn't seem like we're going to see either one of them until the fall. But I thought that was just, you know, more evidence of how amazing the Japanese horses are, that they can come under these seemingly impossible circumstances, third start of the life and all the travel for Forever Young, and they still put up their representative efforts. The other horse you mentioned you thought could win, I think ended up dead last. I guess with Just a Touch, it did end up being a case of maybe a little too much too soon, and a horse who still has obvious talent, and I think will have some big prizes next to his name in the future, assuming he can bounce back from what was probably a fairly stressful experience in the Kentucky Derby. What did you think of Just a Touch? Anything to add to those comments?
Yeah, going into the first, you know, going into the stretch, coming by the wire for the first time, you watch the replay, he had the worst trip of them all. You know, Florent was skiing the entire time and checking, and he was throwing his head, and too much too soon, a talented racehorse, another horse that I think will go on to do really good things, you know, a Haskell-type horse, even a Travers-type horse. I'm not giving up on him at all based on this performance.
Yeah, that's a good point about the some of those difficulties early, too. Let's talk about some of the other highlights from the weekend. We just have a few minutes left in this segment, but we'll obviously have you back late week, JK, and we can pick up any threads that don't get pulled on here. Torpedo Anna wins the Kentucky Oaks. What did you think of the way that this one went down? I know she wasn't on your short list, but why do you think she was able to look so good?
Yeah, she was on my long list. You know, I mean, she's a horse that I thought was interesting. Based on the way that it all unfolded, I didn't use her in some of my kind of shorter situations. She was right there. She was the fourth best horse in the race, in my opinion, before going into the race. I mean, I don't think that way now, but she was the fourth best horse in the race, and she ran extremely well. She got another brilliant ride by Brian Hernandez. Looking forward to talking to him on JK Plus One that we're going to record on Wednesday. And, you know, I think the one lesson, handicapping lesson, when we do these recap shows, for me, a lot of them, I try to see what I can take away from it that's going to help me down the line. And I know that a lot of – so for me, the one lesson I did learn is when the count gets to 12 of people that I respect liking a horse, then I need to just get out of my own way and use the horse, right? We don't always see everything, and these are all people that I trust that liked the horse, and I just was like, I just didn't really get it, and I could have been saved by taking some advice from other people around me.
At the Final Answer show, I remember even saying, like, hey, I think we might have been giving short shrift to this one, and you were like, no, she's not going to win.
No, I know. I know. Someone clipped me. I think I said that one of the other three had to win the race. You know, I thought that was the case. I thought Tarifa, who was coming in off of huge works, I thought she was going to run well. I thought Ways and Means was going to run well. I thought Just FYI was sitting on a big race. I thought FYI was going to run by her at the eighth pole, and
she looked like winning. Yeah, she came right there to win the race and just was no match. And I mean, I don't think there's really any excuse other than Torpedo Anna was just much, much better on the day because it wasn't even close in the end, right? I mean, you can't really conjure an excuse for Just FYI, can you?
No. I mean, sure, maybe she was a little bit wide, but that wasn't why she got beat.
No, not by that much. And Ways and Means, I mean, I think, maybe, you know, is it just the bloodlines caught up with her? I mean, she was right there in the thick of things and went away very, very tamely, maybe even too tamely for me to be super excited about her on the cutback. But you imagine the cutback is where she'll be headed. Do you have any inside info or just personal insight on what happens next with Ways and Means?
I mean, I would imagine she'll run in the Acorn, a mile and a 16th Acorn at Saratoga. She'll be pointed to there in 5 weeks. Here's what I'll say about Ways and Means is that she's got one shot in that race in the Acorn. To me, if she is who I think she is, she'll win that race and go on to be the best 3-year-old of the entire year. If she does not win that race, then I think she might've just been a horse that kind of caught us at the right time early in her 2-year-old year and just never really turned out to be what we thought she was.
Interesting. So you don't buy my idea that maybe she just wants to run in a 7-furlong race.
Yeah, possibly. But she's definitely going to have another shot going a little bit longer.
It makes sense just because of the way the calendar goes, too, that you take a shot in the Acorn, of course. But I do worry. Well, we'll see. We'll get great info there. But should she not run well there in a similar manner of being there and then stopping? Well, let's give her a chance to, you know, be a filly and mare sprint type horse, maybe even down the line. I don't know. I guess I just really don't want to give up on her because I think, you know, like Practical Joke, her sire himself, it might just be that these distances get a little bit too long. We just have a few more minutes, JK, but I wouldn't mind highlighting some of the other performances from the weekend that impressed you. What leaps to mind for you?
Well, so this is what you call speed round. I thought Overcharge was exactly who we thought she was in the Unbridled Sydney on Friday. I mean, she broke slow and was outstanding. First Mission, cool horse. I didn't think he was going to be the value, but he turned out to be the value. I don't think he was ever really losing in that race.
106 by her speed figure for him too. That's the race with the huge run from the Japanese horse, but First Mission just ran right by and just looked awesome. Huh? He did make Even Money look like a gift.
Denim and Pearls was terrible. I don't quite understand why she ran so poorly. She was nowhere. And then the other one ran well that I didn't like either. Impel ran pretty well considering. So like that was, That was a little bit tricky.
Talking about the eight bells.
Idiomatic.
Won by my main squeeze with an 88 figure.
Yeah, Idiomatic is just, she's just such a damn cool horse. I don't know what else to say about her. The other Chad Brown got me in the distaff. And really the other thing that I'll say is that Vallejos, who in the Pat Day Mile, I thought ran outstanding. I think he's going to be a fun horse throughout the rest of the year. Those are the big highlights for me.
Yeah. I was shocked you didn't like Chili Flag. I mean, I the only reason I picked Coppice over is I thought that Chili Flag was going to be too short, and then it ends up Coppice is crazy short and Chili Flag ends up being an incredible price to me, 4-1, the all Chad, stop me if you've heard this one, all Chad try in the distaff turf mile. We talk about Seize the Gray in our Preakness video in the Pat Day Mile. Yeah. Vallejos ran really well. Just couldn't quite get home, it seemed. But an interesting horse, maybe going shorter distances. How about Top Conner real quick? I wasn't sure. At first I thought it was a no-show. Maybe he had some mental issues coming out of the aggressive ride in the Bluegrass, but watching it back, he had a tough trip early. I'm tempted to give him another chance. I'm not giving up on him as my Jerkins horse.
Yeah, he'll end up being a good horse. Yeah, he'll end up being a good horse. I don't disagree with you at all.
All right. That's all the time we have for right now, but JK will be back a little bit later in the week. Thank you for your time and these shows this week, my friend.
Of course. Talk soon.
Monmouth is back, and we are thrilled to be partnering with them for the 2024 season. News just came down. They're going to be part of America's Day at the Races. That's going to be great. Lots of other highlights. Haskell Preview Day, June 15th. Haskell Day, July 20th. And don't forget the Pick Your Prize contest. That comes up real quick. June 1st, I'll be down there. That's going to be terrific. Lots of top trainers participating at Monmouth this year. Chad Brown, Todd Pletcher, Shug McGahee. We've heard of those guys. And some new fun faces, too. Mike Maker, Wesley Ward, Safi Joseph. Live racing will start at 12:50 Eastern on Saturdays and Sundays, with Friday racing kicking off on June 21st. Don't miss out. We're going to have you covered here on the In the Money Media Network. And for additional information, you can go to monmouthpark.com. Eric Solomon returning with daily analysis. Also over at inthemoneypodcast.com. Next up on the show, very happy to bring in a man I've had the pleasure of collaborating with a lot lately, most recently on Derbython. He's here today to talk about the America's Best Racing Party in Baltimore, one of the horse racing events of the season. We'll get into all the details of that with Dan Torgman from America's Best Racing. Dan, how are things?
Things are great. I mean, we're in the thick of Triple Crown season here, so couldn't be any better. As a fan of the sport and as somebody who works in racing, this is our, this is peak season for us, so we're excited.
It's funny because after the madness of the Derby, I kind of want to crawl in a cave for a couple of days and just chill, but we're not afforded that luxury in horse racing with the current Triple Crown schedule, with Preakness and Preakness promotion on us immediately. So I wanted to start there. You know, maybe we'll get back and button up a little Derbython later, but the main reason why I called you today was I saw that you guys are doing the party once again this year. Why don't you tell people what that's all about?
Yeah, so 9 years ago, our team at America's Best Racing, we thought, wouldn't it be cool in the middle of the Triple Crown, and we ended up choosing the Preakness, to create an event where fans of racing, people who just love the sport, you know, bettors, people who just really get into, you know, every aspect of it, but really get into it during the Triple Crown, if we gave them a place to come to celebrate and get excited about horse racing. And so we said, you know what, let's do this party with the people at the Preakness, not necessarily on Preakness Day because it's a little crazy, but leading up to it. So we created something called the Pre-Preakness Party at the time. It's been now 9 years. Every Wednesday prior to the Preakness, we throw an event at the Mount Washington Tavern in Baltimore. So looking about 15 minutes from the track there from Pimlico. And it's really an opportunity to fans to come out, to mingle, to get excited about Preakness, but also to connect with the players, the jockeys, the trainers, owners. We've had all sorts of people over the years show up. Last year we had some of the connections from the Mage, obviously your Derby winner last year going into the Preakness. And in years past, you know, we had California Chrome's team show up after they'd won the Derby. So it's really cool. Like it's a way to really just give fans an opportunity to link up with people that they only get to see on TV usually. Yep. and to mingle with them. And so it's all about access and fun. And then there's a charitable component of this that we're really proud of. So we partnered with the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance every single year. So they've been the beneficiary. Every dollar that comes in goes to charity. There's not a dollar for us. It's literally all for charity. And the new development this year, we're excited to welcome in the Jockey Club Safety Net and our friend Shannon Kelly as co-beneficiaries of the event. So this year's Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance and the Jockey Club Safety Net.
I have participated in and won and had some bad beats alike in the silent auction. Still can't believe as hard as I went on the Knicks Go Halter last year that I didn't get it. And then it turned out, I think it was somebody, it might have even been the breeder who somehow didn't have one. I was like, all right. But I mean, it was, you know, I really love the event. It's a fun venue for one thing. It's a really cool old school place. Great food and drink. Very cool local beers, great whiskeys, always fun people around. Every year I've gone, I've had a great time. Definitely planning on going again this year. I think Marshall Graham came with me last year and will be coming again along with whatever else my early arriving crew in Baltimore is. So yeah, maybe we'll do something closer to the event too about some of the items that are going to be in that silent auction to try to get people pumped up. Do you allow proxy bidding for that? Or is it all you got to be there?
Yeah. So the good news is you can actually bid online. Okay. The bidding opens next Monday, May 13th at 10 a.m. And it closes at the conclusion of the party on May 15th. And you could see those items. You can actually take a look at the full item list. On the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance website. So that's thoroughbredaftercare.org. And then it's /ABR-Preakness-Pre-Preakness-Party. But yeah, if you go to thoroughbredaftercare.org, you go to their homepage, it's right there on the homepage. You click on it and it'll give you all the information about the event. You can buy tickets and you can also get info on the silent auction.
I am going to make life easy for everybody. I'm going to create a pretty link. I will go and get that URL. And all you're going to have to do is go to inthemoneypodcast.com/auction. And you can see that full list of things. That'll be a lot of fun. And let's make sure to pump that out too, Dan. Production meeting in the middle of the show. Get me something for the free newsletter late week. And we'll send it out there. If you have a banner or if not, I'll just write a little bit of text about it. But that's going to be fun. But let's get back. You mentioned Shannon. That makes me think about the Derbython, this crazy collab. The places with the letters ITM, ABR, and DRF all did together last week. Was just curious what your impressions were for this mad idea that, yeah, technically it was my idea, but it was really Rich Rosa at DRF with the technical know-how and stick-to-itiveness to make it happen at such a busy time. Was just curious of any highlights from you as far as that went.
Yeah, I think my feedback would be the same as it was when I saw you on Wednesday night. I just said this was psychotic. Like, I don't know what was happening to you, or like why, you know, what you experienced in your life that made you think that this was something that we needed to do. But I'm glad you thought of it. It was really, really fun. It was great. I found myself, even though I hadn't planned on sitting around and watching, you know, 16 hours of this thing, I had it up the whole time, you know, like it was on in the background as I was going about my day on Wednesday. I saw, you know, the Andy Beyer hit, which was great. I saw the show you did with Jerry Bailey and Randy Moss. So many just fun segments throughout the day. Was really excited to see our team, our Keeneland Weekend Kickoff team. Rachel Miller, Alexis Epp, and Ren Carruthers, they did a great job. And then it was fun hosting a show myself with Ashley, Jose, and JD. So it was great. Like, I mean, honestly, it was an honor to be invited to participate in it and to collaborate with you guys. And everything I've heard from people is that it was well received. And it's the start, I think, of what could be something really great moving forward. You know, I think I jokingly said to Rich, so are we doing a Preakness-thon? we might need to wait on that, right?
There will be no rematch. There will be no rematch. Well, that's not true. There will be a rematch, but there will be no Preakness-thon, not this year anyway. But that said, Dan, we do have a ton of coverage in that, in the style coming up on our individual platforms. You know, for us at In the Money, I think the biggest shows next week, we're going to have a pro player roundtable show. Hopefully we can get Duke and Sean back for that. That'll be audio only. But then on YouTube, we are going to have a Preakness Final Answer show. And I'm not exactly sure who's going to be part of that, but you can bet that Mr. Kinchin and myself will be. So who knows? Maybe we'll get Vanessa to stay up late and host us virtually from across the pond. We had so much fun with her at the live events we did in Louisville. In terms of your Preakness coverage on the ABR side, content-wise, whether we're talking written or visual, what do you got cooking?
So on americasbestracing.net, you can find, they're already starting, you know, guides on what to know before you go, previews of the big race, but also some of the undercard races, some of the Friday races as well. You can find all that on americasbestracing.net. We're also working on some content coming out of the Derby, of course, and kind of looking at Mystic Dan, whether he goes to the Preakness or not. Just a fun story, a great story for people in our line of work, marketing the sport of racing. A very marketable horse and human connections around the horse. So we were excited to see that. And then, you know, once we're at Preakness next weekend, we've got a bunch of really cool things lined up. We've got a bunch of guests coming out. We just recently launched our Stake in Stardom Season 3, which is a program we do where we invite select influencers, celebrities, people in the sports and sports media world. Most recently in the sports betting world, a guy named Trent Attia, who runs a company called Book It with Trent. He's one of the best known digital streamers in the sports betting space. He has come on as an owner, as a horse owner now. So he's taking his followers on a journey with him, you know, as he gets more involved in horse racing. So we're going to be capturing a lot of that on site at the Preakness. Trent was linked up with the folks at Game of Silks and Tropical Racing. And we're also working with a couple of other partners, including West Point Thoroughbreds and Final Furlong Racing to give people that experience. So we'll be there shooting video, capturing them on site, and also obviously covering the races. And you can follow all that in our social media channels on Twitter at ABR Live, and then on our other social media channels at America's Best Racing.
Great. There's you have another exciting project coming up that I do want to give some airtime to. But before we get to that, I wanted you to share with the audience a story we were talking about off air, which had to do with the deep and abiding passion of Japanese racing fans, which it sounds like it might have caught you a little bit off guard.
Yeah. I mean, so look, I love, you know, I've been rooting for a Japanese horse to win a big race. Like, obviously, they won Breeders' Cup races, but like last year for the Classic, we were so excited that we ended up embedding with the team behind Ushba Tesoro, and we ended up doing a Japanese, literally a feature 5-minute video in Japanese, hoping that the horse would win. So I get it. Like, I get the passion for the Japanese horses. But yeah, I put out a comment on X saying, you know, I thought Sierra Leone ran a massive race. In fact, I think I used the wording ran the biggest race considering ground covered. I did not realize that there were some folks out there that was a triggering comment, right? I got accused of being, I don't want to use the term, but like, let's just say not a fan of anything from Japan because I thought Sierra Leone ran a great race. And so that it was funny. I mean, like, honestly, I laughed it off, but I had to, even though I don't do as much X as I used to, well, that didn't sound right. let me redo
call it Twitter. It's one of the many reasons it's just easier to call it Twitter. I'm definitely leaving that in.
Oh my God.
I won't take that off for anything. But your point was, is you're not as active on there, but you made this comment, which honestly I think could have potentially triggered a Mystic Dan fan as much as it would have a fan of Forever Young, but it was the Forever Young fans who seemed to take the most offense.
Yeah, so that's it. You just got to be careful when you're out there navigating the rough seas of Twitter/X. And so, no, it was good though. Like, honestly, it was a fun weekend for me. I actually didn't go to the Derby this year, and I'd been to the Derby the past several years. So I got to enjoy a lot of the, as I mentioned, watching Derbython. I kind of rolled into the weekend getting to watch a lot of the streaming coverage online, and then also watching the national TV coverage. We were excited to see the ratings be as solid as they were. as many people tuning in, and then as much people the wagering totals being as high as they were, all of that, you know, like we consider those, like those are our victories, right? Like for us as America's Best Racing, when horse racing wins, we win. And it just felt like a winning weekend for horse racing. And so really just having the opportunity to kind of sit back this weekend. Yes, it left me on social media a little bit longer than I might normally be. And there's some hazards there. But other than that, it was just a fun weekend to kind of take in all this great stuff that was happening. I thought the TV coverage was great overall as well. The team at NBC did a phenomenal job. So it was good. It was a fun weekend all in all. And that little story to end it, just kind of a little comic relief, I guess.
I got one more thing that I need you to speak on. Throughout this show, we've talked about a lot of different free contest opportunities between the contest jockey event we're going to be doing on Preakness Day, and of course the first racing contest that you will have heard about by this point in the show. But you had one you wanted to talk about that I thought was a pretty fun cross-sport tie-in coming up, and maybe not the cross-sport tie-in that people would think about first, even though in many senses the most appropriate and direct given the whole horsepower concept. Tell us what you got cooking as far as this event with our friends over in Indiana.
Yeah, so it's a motorsport / horse racing collab with our friends at Horseshoe Indianapolis. We're calling it Horsepower, and it's two parts to this. One is a sweepstakes, which is now live on americasbestracing.net. You win a VIP. You could win a VIP day at the races at the Indiana Derby on July 6th. All you got to do to enter is go to americasbestracing.net. On the homepage, you'll see an Enter Here tab. You click Enter Here, drop your email in, and you're entered to win. We will announce the winner on a live show on May 24th in Indianapolis. On May 24th, if you look at your calendar.
Over there, yeah, as I recall.
Yeah, Memorial Day weekend, and it's also Indy 500 weekend in Indianapolis. And so Friday is carb day at the Indy 500, so we'll be there. We'll set up a live show. Our host, this will be out soon enough, so I'll just go ahead and blurt it out. We're excited. Brittany Erton and Joey Molinaro will be our hosts for the show, and we'll also welcome on some folks from Horseshoe Indy to announce the winner of the sweepstakes. So you got to be tuned in. You'll watch. You'll see if you've won. And then, we're excited about a couple of things we're going to try to experiment with in terms of catching some crossover audience, tuning in for sort of that Indy 500 coverage. And then also the sort of connective piece here is that I mentioned the Stake and Stardom program we do, where we take various people and we bring them into the world of horse racing, specifically the horse ownership side. One of those individuals is Alexander Rossi, who won the 100th running of the Indy 500. He is now a horse owner with West Point Thoroughbreds. So we're excited. He'll be there with us. He'll be on the show. And he is already, if you don't follow him, you don't know who he is, look him up on his social channels, Alex Rossi. He's been able to visit Lexington already. He's been to some farms. He was actually at Churchill Downs this past weekend. And he's really been capturing this experience and telling all these people who follow him, which again is in the millions, hey guys, horse racing is really freaking cool. Like you got to see this, like you got to look at these horses, how well they're cared for over here. Like look at how much fun it is at a day at the races. And so that's sort of the goal of the program. And we think we've like struck gold with him in particular. So we're excited to kind of advance that whole campaign with this horsepower show, the Indy 500 on Friday, May 24th.
It's really cool. I love that idea. Let me just hit you with these pretty links again. If you want to buy tickets to join me and Dan and hopefully Marshall and lots of other ITM people as well for the Preakness party in the Money Podcast, in the moneypodcast.com/party. And then if you want to participate in the silent auction, maybe get this bookmarked and get it ready in the moneypodcast.com/auction. We'll take you right there. Dan, great working with you and great getting a chance to catch up. And we will be talking soon.
I appreciate it. Talk soon.
We're so excited to be partnered with Hawthorne Racecourse for this 2024 season. Large field sizes, including great turf racing action, are back at Chicago's hometown track with a 12% takeout on win, place, and show wagers. Hawthorne has been quietly and consistently producing great cards that horse players are starting to take notice of. Be sure to check out Hawthorne this summer and take advantage of a great racing product at a great price. We're going to be covering them here on the In the Money Media Network. And for more information, check out inthemoneypodcast.com/Hawthorne. That's going to do it for this somewhat truncated show, but don't worry. We're going to have lots of extra content this week. Some looking back at the Derby and a lot looking ahead to great stakes racing action coming up this weekend. Hawthorne and Monmouth we're going to be covering. We'll probably try to get something in there on the Santa Anita carryover Friday night as well. So stay tuned. Lots more where this came from. I apologize if we left you short of the amount of podcast you thought you were going to get for this workout or drive, etc. But hopefully there's something else cool and fun you can listen to. Let's thank some sponsors. How about the Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga? This is where Kim Weir is working now, helping humans and helping horses. Learn more about them. InTheMoneyPodcast.com/horses. And of course, 10 Strike Racing. We always love to root for the purple and black and very much looking forward to hanging out with a lot of the 10 Strike team down at the Preakness Stakes in just a week and a half's time. Most of all, though, want to thank all of you, the listeners, the viewers, for making this show so much fun to do, for making our Derby content so successful through the Derby Thon, but also the YouTube channel and our numbers here on the site. You guys really lift us up, and we appreciate it. If you have any questions for us, holler, and we will make sure to take care of them. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos.